Okay, so let's begin. We started last week with Perek Yud Zayin. I'm sorry, Yud Ches. We just did the first pasuk. In fact, so let's have the second pasuk. We're up to pasuk Beis. Last week we learned pasuk Aleph. We spent the whole shiur on pasuk Aleph, explaining the significance, the deep meaning of Ayhi Acharei Chein. It was afterwards when David went to war against the Pelishtim and he humbled them. He humbled them and he took gas. We discussed different reasons. What was the acharei chein? Now let's go to pasuk beis. We learn the Rashi and the Mefarshim vayaches and Moav. Pasuk beis. Now David goes to war against Moav. Vayu Moav avodim leDavid nosei mincha. He went and he conquered Moav, and Moav was servants to David, nosei mincha, and they offered to David meal offerings. I'm not in this context. Normally, mincha means a meal offering in Chumash, but here it means gifts, tribute. They go for David tribute every so often. They had to pay David tax. Pasuk Gimel. Vayach David es Hadad Ezer Melech Tzova Chamos, a new nation, Tzova. Tzova is what we call, I guess, Syria, right? That's Aram, all the way around Tzova. There are many Arams, right? That we're going to learn very soon. Aram was a nation which had many cousins, many affiliates. There's Aram Tzova and Aram, and we'll see some of the psukim later on, but here we have Tzova. It's a nation of Tzova. Hadadez mel Tzova, Chamosa. Chamosa is the name of a place. The battle took place in Chamosa. Okay, Chamosa I'm not sure it's the same place, because Tzova is in the north, and Hamas, they're in Gaza. I don't know if it's the same. I don't think they're related, but let's see.
No, but in Syria, there's
Hamas. Oh, yeah?
It's on the same area.
Okay.
There's Hamas.
Okay. So he went to battle against Hadadez and El Tzova in Chamosa. We'll see them in a few moments. Belechto, now this took place incidentally. This appears was not David's main objective to conquer Tzova. Belechto lehatziv yodo bin harpros. When he went to establish, lehatziv means to establish his authority, yodo, his hand in bin harpros. Harpros is the Euphrates. This appears to be the east boundary. David was coming to establish the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. It's not exactly clear. It doesn't mean he went all the way to Bavel. That's still not the case. He didn't go down to Iraq. That's very unlikely. But somewhere along where the river, where Nahar Peros, the Euphrates, begins to descend from the north, and as it slopes and it sweeps all the way to the east, all the way down to where Iran, the border of Iraq and Iran. But Nahar Peros has its roots along the northeast side of Eretz Yisrael. David went to establish the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, to conquer that region. And while he was there, he encountered resistance amongst the people of Tzova, and he conquered them. That's what it says over here. So it's an incidental event. One more time, he conquered Hadadez and Tzova Machamasa Belechtim. He went Lahatziv to establish Yodo, his authority bin Har Peros. Rashi, here we're going to see, goes on a tangent and explains the significance Yodo, his hand. What do you mean his hand? So we don't blink. We know that the word Yodo means his authority. When you lift up your hand, it means your authority. But over here, we're going to see the Mitzudos. Rashi has a little bit more of an elaboration upon this. Let's just read a few psuk, and then we'll go back and read the Mitzudos and the Rashi. Vayilkoi David mimenu. What did David conquer from? What did the Yilko means? He conquered, or he took. What's a good translation for Yilko? Very precise. Conquer. Okay. Vayilko David menu elef rechav, 1,000 chariots. Vishivas. Okay. Captured, conquered, and 1,000 vishivas alafim parashim, and 7,000 horsemen, people who drive the chariot. So it appears that there were seven people for each chariot. That's what would appear from a very simple translation of the words. The Eshem Elef Ish Ragli, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Okay, that's where the term comes from. Ragli, foot soldiers. They did not operate any machinery. They did not sit on horses. They just would walk alongside and fight battles. What did David do with all of these horses, these chariots? So you'd think that a regular king, what would he do with this? He would take it into his army. Right, one ancient times you conquer another nation, so you take all of their equipment, their tanks, and their missiles, and their nukes, and you bring it into your arsenal. It becomes part of your military power. No, vayaker David oyker, hamstring. I'm saying probably, how do you say in English? Hamstrung. He hamstrung all of the horses, which means he cuts a vein in the leg, which prevents the horses from running from running, pretty much.
You said this was an incidental.
Right.
Right. So he didn't need.
No, not necessarily. So we'll see from the Mefarsh that he would have really ideally take. Even though it was incidental, he would have taken these horses into his army. It's just that gzeres hakosif lo yarbe loy susim. But it's Chazal seemed to say from that we can apply that if not for that pasuk, he would have been very happy to take the horses and bring them into his army. But he chose vayakir David es kol arechav. He hamstrung all of the chariots. However, vayoser menu mei arechav, he left over 100 because that was needed. And if it's needed, that's not part of the prohibition of lo yarbe loy susim. Pasuk hey vayavo aram. Now here in this battle, when David was conquering Tsova, this king called Hadadezer, so who went to the aid of? They sent out an SOS. Hadadezer said, I'm in a lot of trouble here. David is conquering me. So who came to his aid? Vayavo Aram Dar Mesek. So here we have another cousin of Aram. Aram was one nation. Aram Tsova. That's not what it says on above. It says Melech Tsova. But here we have a division of Aram called Dar Mesek. He came la'azor to the aid of Lehadadezer Melech Tsova. And what did David killed him also. David wiped him out as well. Vayach David Baram. And David went and he conquered this person called, this nation called Aram Dar Mesek. Vayach David Baram. Eshem Shnaim Elefish. 22,000 people. Very good number. 22. We're coming with Simchas Torah. Megillah V'nissim Rabach. Bach of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. I don't know the significance, but 22,000 people were killed out. Pasuk Vav. Vayasim David Baram Dar Mesek. David established, the Mikra Choser does not tell us what David established, but from the context it's obvious he established officers, he established governors, he established puppet kings that were loyal to David, he established Baram Dar Mesek, Vahi Aram Le David, the whole nation of Aram was loyal, they were subjugated under the authority of David, Le-David. Avadim, they were servants, Nosei Mincha, they would carry tribute to David,
tribute bearers.
Vayosh Hashem l'David. Hashem brought salvation l'David. B'chol Asher Holach, wherever he traveled. Pasuk Zayin. Vayikach David eis shilte hazav. What did David take from Aram? And from Tzova. Shilte hazav asher hoyu al avdei Hadadezer. They had golden shields that were carried by the servants of Hadad Ezer Tzov Mel Tzova, Vayivim Yerushalayim, and he brought them to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Ches, Umi Tivchas, this is the name of a place. These are two cities, Umi Tivchas, Umi Kun, Ore Hadad Ezer. It appears these were two major cities of Tsova, the cities of Hadad Ezer. Lokach David Nechoshes Rabba, Ma'od, he took an enormous amount of copper, Ma'od very much, Kama, Ba with it, Asa Shlomo, and that's, Rashi will tell us, that's the whole purpose of the Lefib Shuta, the purpose of these Psukim is to tell us how, and Hashem told David that you will not build the Beis HaMikdash, but instead it will be your children that will build the Beis HaMikdash. That was the Haftarah on Sukkot, right? The second day Sukkot, we learned that was looking for that Pasuk. The second day Sukkot in Sefer Melachim Perik Ches, Pasuk Beis Vayikohalu. So there we learned how Hashem said to David that you will not build the Beis HaMikdash, but Shlomo your son will build the Beis HaMikdash. And with that, he prepared for Shlomo. He took the gold shields. Also, Shlomo used this copper as Yom HaNechoshes. The Yom HaNechoshes was like a mikvah. It was a very large basin which they used to wash their hands. They didn't use it as a mikvah. They used it primarily to wash their hands. What did they use it for? They used it to be toiled. They used it as a mikvah. They use it as a mikvah, and they use it also to wash their hands and feet. Es Yom HaNechoshes, V'yesu Amudim, and the various pillars that were needed in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, the Yes, Klei Nechosh, all the Kelim that were made from Nechosh. Now let's see Rashi, we did already Aleph last week. Let's start from Pasuk Gimel. Vayach David es Hadadezer Melech Tzeva, Chamosa, Bachamosa Yohamul Chamu, Bachamosa Higa David. Rashi is coming to make an observation. The Pasuk is not grammatically correct. There seems to be some missing words in this Pasuk, and that's how Rashi explains what the Pasuk means. Two things are happening in Chamos. Number one, that the war took place in Chamos, and that's where David prevailed. Pasuk Chamos or Kimo Lichamos. You have to read the Pasuk as if there's a Lamed, it took place to Chamos. David went and traveled. Vayach David es Hadadezer Belzeva Lichamos. Kimo Lichamos. To Chamos. Okay, that's how we learn. Kibo lechamos. When did this happen? This happened, the lechdo, when David went to establish his authority along the Euphrates. Lehatziv yado. What does this word, lehatziv, the Rashi is bothered. What's this unusual word, yado? To establish his hand. Now, if we take it for granted, we're so familiar with these idioms, then it means power, but pisrono, kishaholach lehatziv koichoi. So Rashi tells us something which is telling us chiddush. Yodai means his power, which we take for granted. Lehashiv gvulo, to establish the boundary. Ulhatziv, to expand, okay, or to restore, it seems to say, lehashiv. And lehashiv, to widen, gvulo means to establish the boundary. Ulhatziv, Binahar Paras, Shahayameshiv Lugvul Nahar Paras. He was coming to establish the boundary of Nahar Paras, period. Okay, that's the basic gist of those words. He was coming to establish the biblical boundary of Nahar Paras. Vidugmaso, where do we find the word Yodo, the word Yad, in reference to power? So he says, Avshalom, right? Today it's a big tourist attraction. Yad Avshalom, right? So what is Yad Avshalom? The hand of Avshalom. It means the power of Avshalom. This was his success, his conquest. Uvi Avshalom lokach, he took land, vayotzev lo b'chayov, vayikru lo, he established this location, this area in his lifetime, b'goymer, we're being mekatz, we're paraphrasing the pasuk, vayikru lo, and Avshalom called this area, this piece of land, Yad Avshalom. What does it mean, Yad? Shepisrono, Koyach Givul Avshalom. The power of the boundary of Avshalom, meaning it's a piece of land which was conquered by Avshalom, and this piece of land represents the conquest. The conquest. The domain of Avshalom. Okay, that's the simple interpretation. And then Rashi tells us something very interesting, which I don't think you're going to find this anywhere, not except for here. Another interpretation, what it means, Yad Avshalom, Dover Acher, Vayikro lo Yad Avshalom, Besoch HaMatzevot, Tzor Avshalom, Tzuras Orech Yodo. That David erected a monument, and in the monument he chiseled out his hand. La Havdol Elif Alfe Havdolos. You go to Hollywood, they have the cement. So they put their hand in the cement. That's the Yad of all the movie stars. They put their hand into the cement, the wet cement. It doesn't say that Avshalom had wet cement. It doesn't say that, but it says that he chiseled out in this monument the image of his hand. Tzuras Orech Yodok Yidosev Be'os HaPasek Ki Omar Zos HaTzura HaMitzuyeres Achar Yad Avshalom. As the Pasuk seems to indicate that he made an image in a monument of his hand. Now I assume it's the same idea. He etched the image of his hand in this monument to express that this represents his conquest, his success, his power, his domain. Okay. Then we have Pasuk Dal and Rashi, Vayaker David. What did David do to all the horses? He cut out a critical vein or a critical muscle that would prevent them from running. Vayaker David, mishum dechsev lo yarbe lo susin. The reason why he did this was because of the prohibition to have too many horses. Okay. The Yosef mimenu may spare rechev, but he left over 100 chariots. You're allowed to have as many chariots as you need. What then did David do? What happened in this battle? Hadadezer, when David was conquering Melchizedek, along came the king Aram Darmesek. Now Rashi points out some inconsistency between Divrei Hayamim and Shmuel. There it says Damesek, right? Who Damesek Eliezer? Mm-hmm. Right? We have Avraham has servant Damesek Eliezer. Uven Basi, who Damesek Eliezer, all he had was a servant Eliezer. So how come here it's called Darmesek with a resh? So Rashi tells us that this is very common. It's very common for there to be a silent resh. Ksiv Damesek. V'derech ha-pasuk l'dabekin k'mo min shevet. The word shevet means a rod, a stick, a staff. It's sharvit. So now we know the secret. The word sharvit and shevet, it's really the same exact word. It's just that the resh is a silent resh. It's added sometimes, and sometimes it's omitted. Sharei yaser eschem b'shoitim. For example, the pasuk says, "I will chastise you with shoitim." Another example is a rod. Targum sharvitim. So the translation of a shotim, which means a rod, is a sharvitim with a resh. So why does it say resh? It says shevet. The answer is a shevet and a sharvet are one and the same. The resh sometimes is added, sometimes is omitted. And damesek, same thing, we're going to call it darmesek. Gamzo Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. This also is from Rabbi Yitzchak, his Rebbe. This Rashi was taught to him by his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak. And the previous Rashi, in parentheses, it said also, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel ban...
Okay. Narbonne.
Narbonne? That was Rashi's Rebbe. It's not Rashi's father. Rashi's name was Shlomo Yitzchoki. His father was Yitzchok. Right. Some say that when the first Rashi in Chumash, Omar Rebbe Yitzchok. The name, why the Torah starts. Who's Rebbe Yitzchok? So I think many tell us that it's Rashi's father. No, it can't be. So it's this Rebbe Yitzchok? Why can it be his father?
You're quoting the first Rashi?
Yeah.
No, it's not Rashi's father. It's a mistake to say that.
Why?
I told you this before. It's that Rashi, yeah, we discussed a year ago, that Rashi is a splice from two different sources.
Right, okay.
And in one of the sources...
It's a Medrash Rabbi Yitzchak.
It's from Tanhuma Yashan. It's Omar Rabbi Yitzchak.
Aha. That's a Tana. Okay. So therefore...
Everyone had that source.
Okay.
And therefore they mistakenly assumed...
Thought it was Rashi's father. Okay, very good. But over here, obviously, this is a different Rashi. This is not his father, obviously. This is his Rebbe. So we have three Rabbi Yitzchaks. We have Rashi's father, who is anonymous. We don't seem to hear from him very much. No, Shlomo Yitzchaki. Right? That Rashi's father is Yitzchak. And then we have Rabbi Yitzchak. The first Rashi in the Torah is a Tana from the Medrash. And here we have another Rabbi Yitzchak. But this also, the Torah is not Rashi. That we said many times, that the Perish, the Mefarish here in Divrei Hayamim, is not Rashi. It is someone else. So all of these things don't really make a difference. Okay, let's go to Pasuk, next Rashi. Vayasem David b'Darmesek. David established Darmesek. What did he establish? This is a mikre choser. Therefore, Rashi says, pisroin, the interpretation. You have to add a word into this pasuk. Nitzivim, he established officers, a puppet government, a puppet king, someone that would control the country in Aram Darmesek, that would be loyal to David and would send tax, would send tribute every so often. Ksiv nitzivim ksiv beferush vayosim David baram Damesek nitzivim in Sefer Shmuel, it fills in the gaps. There it actually says the word nitzivim, officers. What did David take from Hadadezer? He took the gold shields. Shilte hazahav. Dugmaso, he quotes an old French word. Okay, I don't know what that word is. I don't know this, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hachitzim Mole Hashalitim, I'm not sure what that pasuk is, but it refers there to gold shields. Okay, what else did David conquer? Nechoshes. In the city, in this city that he conquered from Tzova Hadadezer, there was an enormous amount of copper. Nechoshes Rabba Meoid Bo with it also Shlomo Hamelch Midiyam Shal Shlomo. Vezel Shomer Kevon. Now Rashi explains why the pasuk is telling this, telling us all this information, because it's going back to the first pasuk in this parak. It was Acharei Chayin. It was after Hashem. Rashi Lishitasai. After Hashem told David that you will not build the Beis HaMikdash, therefore David said, at least let me prepare all of the materials for my son who will build the Beis HaMikdash. V'zeru sh'omar, kevon sh'omar, David livno sabayis. David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. V'yamar kodesh baruch hu lo ato tivne habayis. Kim bincha. Therefore, mesaper v'hoylech eich zimin lo livno sabayis. David went to go and prepare all of the building materials. Okay, let's go further. Let's just go with the mitzudos. Really, most of the mitzudos we already covered in Rashi. Pasuk Tes. What happens next? Vayishma Tohu Melech Hamas. Tohu, the king of Hamas, heard Kihiko David es kol chel Hadadezer Melech Tzoiva. This person, by the name of Tohu, he heard that David conquered. Kiko David is called Chel Hadadez. David conquered the entire army of Hadadezer, Melech Tzoiva. So Vayishlach es Hadoiram bino El Melech David. So he was so excited. Why was this person Tohu happy? Because who was Tohu's arch enemy? Hadadezer. So Tohu was thrilled. Finally, someone got rid of this, my tsar, my enemy. So therefore, he sent gifts. One more time. Vayishma ato melech Hamas, ki hiko David es kolchel hadadezer melech tzoiva, vayishach es hadoram bino, Tohu sent hadoram his son, el hamelech David, lishol lo lishalom, to ask, to make a request of peace. In other words, we want to be with peace with you, do not harm us, ulevarach, and to bless him. Why was Tohu so excited to make a peace treaty with David and to bless David? Because they were at war with each other from time immemorial. And therefore, that's why...
Enemy of my enemy,
exactly. Therefore, what else did he do? He was smart. He gave him a gift. He sent him a gift. You don't just come and ask for peace. You have to give gifts. The chol klei zahav unchesef and chayshes the nikkur chaser as well. And he delivered to David all of the gold and silver utensils and copper utensils that he had available to give a gift to David. Gam osam. What did David do with all of these gifts? Gam osam hikdash hamelach David laHashem. He also sanctified to Hashem in Makesef Yazov Asher Nosam Mikol Hagoyim, together with all of the gold and silver which he carried away from all of his enemies, all the nations. Me'edom u'mimoyav u'mnei Amon me'plishim me'amolek. We have a list of here, four nations: Edom, Moav, Amon, five nations: Plishtim and Amalek. Okay, let's see Rashi. Pasik Yud in Rashi. Ki ish milchomos tohu bal machlu kosoi hoya. They were at war. V'chein moichyech l'mala v'yach davres hadadezer v'chi ma'inin lohem l'chamas l'aruch bo milchoma. Ela, it says above that David, he conquered, he smote es had Dar Ezer, Chimain Lohem Lachamas, Larach Bomuchama. Why did this city, this battle took place, as we mentioned before, in Chamosa? So why is it mentioned? Larach Bomuchama, Ella Hadar Ezer, Melech Tzova Holach, Lilochem Al Tohu, Melech Hamas, the Hamas. Over Oid Cain, but David, Allah, he called the whole clay, Zav, Chesav, and Chesav, Savi, David. Rashi is telling us a very important to make. If we don't, unfortunately, we don't know the geography. That's why I need Rashi to bring out the point. But when you go back to Pasuk Gimel, what does it say? That David went and he smote Hadadezer Melech Tzoiva in Chamosa. What? What is Hadadezer, the king of Tzoiva, doing in Chamosa? Hamas is a different location. Tzova and Hamas are two different parts of the world. I don't know exactly where they are. They must be in the same region. They're up north somewhere. Yeah.
Call themselves, refer to themselves as Aram Tzova. Which
yeah.
Is here from Aleppo.
Okay, and so where is Hamas? And Hamas, so where is this place Hamas?
That's I don't know exactly on the map. I mean,
but it's in the region.
I've read about it many times.
It's in the region. It's somewhere over there. So there are two. There are two different countries. There was a country called Hamas that was controlled by Tohu. It was controlled by Tohu, and there was an entirely different country called Tzova. And it was controlled by Hadadezer. So the difficulty that we should trigger a question in our mind when we learn Pasuk Gimel is, why is Hadadezer Melech Tzova in Hamasa? What is he doing there? David's coming to wage a battle against Hadadezer in Hamasa. So we learned it. The battle, Rashi, the first told us that that's where the battle took place. But why did the battle take place there? Why didn't the battle take place in Tzova? So that's what the Pasuk here is telling us, that Rashi is coming to explain to us, because these two nations were fighting against each other. Hamas, that was ruled by Tohu, and Hadadezer, who ruled over Tzova, and they went to battle, and Melech Tzova went to Hamasa to wage battle. And that's where David happened to find him, and that's where David wiped him out. And at that point in time, David, who was not at war with Hamasa, with Tohu, Tohu came out and told David, thank you very much for getting rid of my enemy, and here's all the gold and silver. That's why the battle took place over there. One more time, the words of the Rashi. Let's read those words again. What is Hamas there, a place? What is Hamas, a location where the battle is taking place? Ella, the answer is, Hadadezer, who was Melech Tzova, Holach, he traveled, Lilochem al Tohu, to wage war against Tohu Melech Hamas, Uve Od Cain, and while David was traveling in the region in order to establish the boundary of Eretz Yisrael at Nahar Paras, Bo David Olav, Vihi Kohu, David found him and he killed him there. And at that point, and then the king of Tohu took all of the gold and silver that he had in his possession. And we have in Shmuel the same thing. It says the same exact thing in Sefer Shmuel Beis Pas Perik Ches. Okay, let's go further. Pasik Yud Gimel. Vayasem Be'edoim Nitzivim. He established in Edoim. Now it doesn't. I don't know where Rashi is getting this Dibur Hamaskil from. It doesn't say this now pasuk, but it says that David established in Edom Nitzivim Shultainim Shleirotza LaHamlich Aleim Melech. He did not want to allow a king to rule upon them. So he's telling us what it says in Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel, he's going back to the word Vayosem. In the previous pasuk, when David conquered Aram Tzova, Tzova, it says in Sefer Shmuel that he established Nitzivim. Why didn't David appoint a melech that would be loyal to David? The answer is that's too much authority. A melech has more authority than a nitziv. A nitziv seems to be something like a governor. David did not trust them. He did not want to appoint a king, because the king may get carried away with himself and rebel against David. So instead he appointed over these conquered territories lower level authority figureheads called nitzivim. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that might be true. There's also, you know, the Parshas Vayishlach, when they talk about Edom,
yeah,
he doesn't have
king, because Alufim. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Alufim, right. And then Yishmol, what does Yishmol have? Yishmol has he doesn't have kings. He has so Nisim. Nisim. Right, there are different levels of authority. But here it's a very important point. David did not want to allow them shultainim, rulers, shleirotz laham lechalei melech. He refused to let them have a king. So let's go to Pasuk Yudbeis. The Avshai. Now this is very interesting. The Avshai ben Tzuruya. Now who was Avshai? He was the son of Tzuruya. Who was Tzuruya? Tzuruya was David's sister. And this person, Avshai, then was David's nephew. David's sister had a son. He ka'es Edom. He was sent out to fight to do battle against Edom, Bigei HaMelech, in the valley of Melach, HaMelach, in the valley of Salt. What did he conquer? Shmoina Osa Olaf, 18,000. He conquered 18,000 people. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Oh, here's the Pasuk Rashi first. I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayosem be'edom nitzivim. David established Edom nitzivim officers. Vayikol Edom avodim leDavid. And they were all servants to David. Vayosh Hashem es David b'chol ha-shaholach. Hashem brought about salvation for David wherever he traveled. Pasuk Yudalid. Vayimlech David al kol Yisrael. David's success here is expressed. A general Pasuk was he was king on the entire Jewish people, Vayihi, and at this point in time, we'll see more about this in a few moments, Ose Mishpat Utstako L'chol Amo. This very nice way of saying that David retired as chief of staff, as general. That's what it says. It's a very nice way of saying, what did David do? Mishpat Utstako, he was a judge. He judged Ben Adam L'chaveroi. Utstaka, according to the Mefarshim, he went he gave charity, but also between Hashem, he was mespalo to Hashem to do with the Jewish people. Tztaka, mishpat is a judge. Adam Chaveroi, tztaka refers to Adam Lamokim. L'chol Amo, and this pasuk, the deeper meaning of this pasuk is no longer did David go out and fight wars. He sat home, served as a judge, served as a Rosh HaYeshiva, served as a Rebbe, as a Rav, all of those roles combined, but not anymore did not serve in the capacity as a warrior, as a leader in war. Who did he give over that responsibility to? He gave it over, Pasuk Tezav, V'yoyav ben Tzruya. He gave it to another nephew, the famous Yoyav, the son of Tzruya, Al Hatzava. He took over the leadership of the army. V'hoshafat ben Achilud Maskir. This person, he was the Maskir, he was the recorder. He recorded all the battles, he was the scribe. V'tzadok ben Achituv Avimelech ben Avyasar Koyhanim. The Koyin Godol now was Tzadok. We mentioned before he was very young in the previous episode. Now he matured, he was an adult. He became the Kohen Gadol. And Avimelech ben Evyosar, he was the Sagan. Now Evyosar in the past was the Kohen Gadol. So it seems that Evyosar retired. And Avimelech, his son, became the Sagan Kohanim. V'shav Shah Soifer, he was the scribe. Now we'll see in a few moments that there's a Maskir and a Soifer. The maskir is the one that composes what should be recorded, and the sofer is the one that actually puts it into writing. People have different talents. Some know how to write very well. Some know how to, they know how to compose. They know how to come up with the ideas, the words, but they're not good at putting it on ink, putting it on paper. Other people have a better handwriting. So Shav Shah was the actual one who transcribed the words, but the Maskir, what we mentioned before, he was the one that would speak and would compose the words that would be put in writing by Shav Shah. Pasuk Yedzayin, Uvinoyahu ben Yehoyada, Al HaKresi V'Yaplesi. Now what is the Kresi and Plesi? So we have the Targum, it refers to the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, Binayahu was a Kohen. He was in charge of the Urim V'Tumim. When a person had a question to ask Hashem what to do, so he would be there, and you would ask him, and the letters would light up, and he would be able to put the letters together in order to make sense out of the Urim V'Tumim. That's one interpretation. We'll see Rashi in a few moments. The Urim V'Tumim refers to nations. Okay, there were nations, a nation called the Kresi, a nation called the Plesi. What did they do? They served some role. It's not exactly clear what they did. They added some special skill that Klal Yisrael needed, maybe a skill in warfare. They knew how to guide the missiles, whatever they needed to do. They operated the heavy-duty machinery, and they were a nation. They had an expertise. And Binayahu ben Yehoyada, he was in charge of these two nations, the Kresi and the Plesi. Another interpretation is Kresi Plesi refers to different types of weapons. Refers to bows and arrows, and refers to slingshots, right? So crazy is a bow and arrow, and placey is a slingshot. The people who specialized in this type of warfare, and Ben Yoyada was in charge. Uvnei David, Harishonim, David's oldest children. Okay, David's, well, the way Rashi learns, you can't translate the pasuk literally. David's children were Harishonim. They were always in charge. They took up leadership roles in David's Malchus, Liad HaMelech, and they always stood right by the side of the king. Okay, we went through a lot of different ideas. Let's see Rashi. A lot of different ideas here. Pasuk Yudal and Rashi. David retired from serving as a warrior. Mishpat Utzdaka. Moshach Atzmo. You would only know this interpretation from Rashi. He withdrew himself mihilachem od from fighting. Umi latseis v'lavo od b'mulchama. No longer would he go out to battle. V'haya yoshev v'shefei tamid yishol b'tztaka. Instead, he devoted the rest of his life to judging the Jewish people with righteousness. V'yoyev al atzava. Because David no longer served as the leader of the army, he needed a replacement. Who would be this replacement? All this dynamic pasuk of Yoav is going back on the pasuk Mishpat Utzdaka. The reason why David needed to appoint Yoav was because since David was no longer going out to fight wars, David needed a replacement. The reason why the pasuk stops in the middle, the reason why we need to make that point, we must make this point known immediately, was because one should not make a mistake and think that from this point and onward there were no battles. That's not true. There's no such thing. You need a strong military. If you don't have a strong military, the country can crumble very quickly. Well, since the David asa mishpat im kein lo hayis shal od milchamim, you can make that mistake. They no longer fought battles. L'kach nemar, no such thing. Nyoyav al hatzava. Okay, maskir. We have here this person called Yehoshaphat ben Achilud was the maskir. So this, according to Rashi, is going back to David. David did Mishpat Utzdaka. Who was David's chronicler? Is that the right word? Who was the one that recorded all the words? This was Yehoshaphat ben Achilud. And in the middle, we had to make mention of Yoya, because you should not make that mistake and think that there were no longer any wars. Which one came before David first? Like we have in the Megillah, the Sefer HaZichronis Devar HaYamim, there was always a person recording who came before David for Mishpat. Then we have this person called Shavsha. He was the Sofer. Achilud Maskir. So Rashi tells us they're a team. Achilud is the mazkir, he composes the words, and Vishavsha Koisef al Yado, he is the one that puts those words into writing, onto paper. Pasuk Yud Zayin, ala kresi aplesi. What are these two funny words? We have this all over the place. So Rashi and Devarim gives a whole new interpretation. It means Pisroinoi, the interpretation of these funny words, Umois, they were nations. Believe it or not, two different nations. It says, Hoy wo goy Kretim, the nation of the Kretim. So Crete, right? We call that Crete. So according to Rashi, Crete is the Crecy. When you say the Crecy placey, it's the Cretim. Musam Hayu Im David, they were from the nations Im David, the same trademark. They were warriors. Anoshim Gibori Chayal, the same umnis. David's umnis was a warrior. David was a fighter. He was a general. They were the same. They knew how to fight. And that's why Gibor Chayal Ubinoyo Aleim, David appointed Binoyahu Ben Yehoyada to be in charge of these two nations to guide them in war. The dugma of chalavodav oivrim al yodai, the chol hakresi, the chol haplesi, the chol hagitim, the goimer. So you see here in Shmuel another example, kresi plesi. There, they're putting connection in association with the hagitim, and gitim is certainly a nation. So just like the Gitim are the nations, so too the creation of the place are also nations. And then it says, so Rashi learns the word of Rishonim does not mean that David, you could learn the pasuk simply that David's first children. David had many children. So David's first, the first couple of them, number 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5. Not, and to exclude the remainder. No, that's not what it means according to Rashi. Harishna means they served in leadership positions. Tamid Rishainim Eitzel HaMelech Lasais to do called Tzorcha, all of David's needs. Okay, now there are a lot of other things going on over here. Now first of all, why did David stop fighting battles? So the Medrash tells us because the people didn't let him. Klal Yisrael were afraid. They began to appreciate his spiritual value. And they were petrified. Mulchama is sakonis nefashos. And the sudden is mekatreg b'shas sakona. And if David will go out and fight battles, who knows, he may be killed or be injured. And then what are we going to do? We're not going to have a spiritual leader. So therefore, the Klal Yisrael refused to allow David to put himself in sakana to fight battles. And that's why he stayed home and he did mishpat. He was always said, stako mishpat. Now, kresu plesi, I told you it means, simply it means, we had over here two interpretations. We had Rashi. Rashi says it means nations. But the famous Gemara, it means, like I told you from the Medrash, the Targum means the Urim v'Tumim. Now, if it means the Urim v'Tumim, why are they called Kresi u'Plesi? So it's a Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin. V'lo menikra shmo Kresi u'Plesi, Kresi of Kores, to cut. Shekorsin divrehem, they cut their words. U'Plesi, Plelosh of Pella, a wonder. Shemuflohin ma'asehen, the Urim v'Tumim were wondrous. They lit up. The letters lit up. That was a wonder. That was a Pella, a miracle. And the words were very precise. They cut words. I guess the interpretation is that if you can write something in 10 words, if you can cut it down to one word, that's called a very sharp, very precise, precision. Sure. So in the context, the bard expression, in the context of Urim v'Tumim, it means the words were extremely concise. They were precise, concise. They were expressed with the ultimate precision, lashon of kores, to cut. Okay.
No, it's similar to that as a gezeira. How is it? Gezeira means to cut. It's similar. It's like the like a cutting edge.
Baruch Goizer Umekayim.
Yeah.
Hashem is Goizer. Goizer.
Decree.
Had a disciple.
Goizer. To cut.
It's like a cutting edge decision.
Okay. Okay, there's another very interesting medrash. The medrash. Rashi was very bothered here. Why are these two things juxtaposed? David is oised stako mishpat, and then really it should say immediately who the mazkir is. When David is oised mishpat utstaka, you should right away mention the mazkir and the soifer Yehoshaphat ben Achilud and Shavsha. But before we get to the mazkir, right away we throw in, oh, this Yoav. Don't forget about Yoav, he's the general. So Rashi told us, because don't make a mistake and think that David's going to retire, there are no longer going to be any wars. No, David appointed a replacement. He appointed Yoav to replace him to be the general. The Medrash says something a little bit different. David was oised stako mishpat. So what does that mean? A person comes to David, and David tells him, you know, you're chayiv, you're guilty. Pay the other, your friend, pay him $1,000. So the litigant says, I'm not guilty, I disagree with your decision, I'm not paying one penny, I'm not going to obey your decision. So what is David going to do? So what is David going to do? That's another interpretation. But what does David do? You don't want to pay? Yoav, chop his head off. Yoav will make you pay. That's why Yoav is juxtaposed to Dov. Dov is oitzet stakum mishpat. He enforced the decisions of David in mishpat. Okay, that's another interpretation. All right, now there's a very important mitzudos here about Avishai. Let's find, this is, it's not actually here, it's probably a Radak. Okay, it's a Radak, the one that I have doesn't have it, so I'll tell it to you. Okay, open up this edition. Divrei Hayomim Yud Beis. We call him here in this pasuk Avshai, pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Avshai was David's nephew. He was David's nephew. Avshai ben Tsuya Hiko es Edom Bigei Hamelach. If you look in the Radak. No, that's something else. Wait one second. Where am I referring to? Where did I see this? Maybe it's the next parak. Avshai, Pasuk Beis. It's probably. Let me see in Rashi. Maybe I skipped the Rashi's. No, it must be later on. We'll come to it later on. I must refer to something I saw later on. Okay. But in the meantime, let's just do the mitzudos. The Radak is the same thing. This, what's very interesting about this story here, where David goes to battle, it's repeated in three places. Here in Divrei Yamim, Shmuel, and also appears in Sefer Tehillim. So this is a very unique event, where David went to battle, where we get the same thing three places. Many Mizmarim to him were composed as Shevach V'Hoidah to events that occurred, and there are other details that are expressed in these places. The problem is, in this story, where David went to battle, it's reported, this battle of Edom, this battle of is recorded differently in all three places. So you look in the Mitzudos and Pasuk Yud Beis, the Avshai, Uvashmul Beis, Nemar, Shedavid Hikaba. There it says that David was the one who led the battle against Edom, not Avshai. Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, V'Avshai ben Tsruya, Hiko es Edom, Begei HaMelech, Shmoyna Osor Olaf, 18,000. In Sefer Shmuel, it says the one that led the battle in Edom was not Avshai, not the nephew of David, but it was David himself. Ki Nemar, Shedavid Hikaba, the answer is, because there in Sefer Shmuel referring to the head of the country, David. Now, if you want to technically who's the one that actually went and fought the battle, that's being filled in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, period. Uvit Tehillim, but what about in Tehillim where it says there that it was done by Yoav? We have a third person. Nema Sheyoav Hika Bohem, the Amor Rabbi Sanim Zechon Levrach, an incredible insight. Shebeiz Mulchamos Hayuvelo Zeh Amurkan. You have to say that in Sefer Tehillim is referring to another. There's another which took place simultaneously. And look at the Radak. Let's look down the Radak. He says it a little bit differently. Radak in Pasuk Yud Days. The Avshai ben Suya Hiko Yesh Lishol. Keep it Sefer Tehillim Zoycha Oysam Shem Yoyaf. The Oimer, and there it's a different number. It doesn't say 18,000, it says Shneim also Elof 12,000. The Hine, the Hein over here, Zohar Sam Shem Avishai. Here it says that it was done not through Yoya, it was done through Avishai, and the numbers were Yamashmoin also Elof. The Chem is Savish Shmuel, it says Yudchas Elof, Vishnas Svarm Oimer, Edoim, Uvishavish Shmuel Ma'aram. What's going on? In Savish Shmuel, it says it was Aram. In Tehillim, and here it says it was Edom. In Tehillim, it says it was Yoav. Here it says it was Avishai. In Shmuel, it says it was David. So what's going on? You have the same exact event, three different places in Tanakh, and in some of them it says it was Aram, some it says it was Edom, some it says 12,000, some it says 8,000, one place it says it was Dov, one place it says it was Yoav, and one place it says Avishai. We have a challenge. What's going on over here? Three different Svarim, you have such a mix-up. V'nira, so the Radak says, Ki milchomois Edom hoisa kishahoisa milchomois Aram. So the Radak really likes to put this together. There was a major world war going on. Everyone was fighting against each other. There was a Milcham of Aram and a Milcham of Edom, and there was all big one challenge. And it was all happening at the same time. And each one of these Sfarim is selecting a different detail to reveal what exactly happened.
When he established, he went out to establish himself Aram Naharayim, the Esaram Tsoivo, Meram Me Edom Hoyu, Elosh Shmoin, Meram Edom Hoyu, Elosh Shmoin Oselof, the Om of Mogamacher Edom, the Rotslema, the Asher Imohem, the Heim Aram, of Omer Heino, Kiavisha, Yud Haselof, the Hilam of Yuzelof, Avisha Osam Muhammad Tahila, Vigram. Yoav took over. Avishai started, he conquered 6,000. Avishai took over and he conquered another 12,000. Okay, so that's basically what he says. It's one big battle. It was started by one, ended by another. David oversaw the entire thing, and that's why we have all these different details. They all come together. It's very unique, because very often you'll have a difference of two places. You'll have what it says in Sefer Divrei Hayom, what it says in Sefer Shmuel. Or you have what it says in Sefer Shoftim, you'll have something that it says in Tehillim. But very rarely you're going to have an event, it's something where you're going to have a triple record of the same exact event and have different pieces of information in all three locations, and you have somehow have to reconcile it all together. And that's what the Radak here seems to do in his unique way. The Metzudah is just very quiet. He just says two different battles, two different events, but the Radak puts it more together. One started, one ended. That's how you reconcile the numbers. One was 6,000, one was 12,000. David was oversaw the entire thing. Avishai started. Yoav finished. We called after the one that started. V'chulu v'chulu. Okay, that concludes this little piece. Let me just tell you one little thing before, just foreshadowing, because I don't know where I saw it. Here we call him Avshai. In Sefer Shmuel, he's called Avishai. There's another Yud. So the question is, why is his name changed? Somewhere along the line, we're going to learn is because what is Avishai? Avishai is Avi Yishai, the Yud, the Av Yishai. I guess you put the Yud with the word Yishai. Who is Yishai? David's father. Av is father. This person, Avshai, he was called after his grandfather. He was called Av Yishai. In other words, Tsuruya was the daughter of Yishai. Yishai was the father of the whole family, and he had a daughter called Tsuruya. Tsuruya named her son, I guess, after her father. Av, my father is Yishai. David's father is also Yishai. So when the two would go together, people would think that Avshai is David's brother. Because when those days, it was very interesting. That's when you call a person by their name, you right away knew what their name meant. So when you look at this person, you call him his name, it's, you are Av Yishai. That means your father is Yishai. People would mistake Avishai as a son of Yishai, not a grandson of Yishai. Because his name was Av Yishai. Aleph Beis Yud Shin Yud. Av Yishai. That's not true. He's really a grandson of Yishai because he comes from Yishai's daughter, Tsuruya. David is a real son of Yishai. So David viewed Av Yishai as an imposter. You're not my brother. You're just my nephew. So it's not a kavod. It's a very strange concept. It's not an honor for David that we should call someone by the name who is in David's cabinet, David's group, entourage to call him Av Yishai, because it seems like he's a competitor to David. And after all, he's going, he's fighting battles. Therefore, being that Sefer Divrei Hayam is a Sefer which is devoted to the honor and the dignity of David, we don't want to have anything that is that any way resembles an insult or competition to David. We change his name from Av Yishai to Avshai. You take away the Yud. When you take away the Yud, you no longer know that his father is Yishai. It's just a different name. No longer will it be a competition for David. That's why the Yud is dropped in Sefer Divrei Hayom. It's a very interesting idea. Probably Rashi says it in the next parak. We'll come to that later on. Okay, we'll stop.